Hey, Leo here for actualized.org. And in this episode, I'm going to be talking about advanced tips for self-inquiry. There is no path, but only a fool doesn't walk it. A quote by Unknown. I wanted to shoot an episode specifically for people who are doing self-inquiry but feel stuck and feel discouraged and might benefit from some tips and pointers that I could provide. I have been doing self-inquiry for over 3 years with mixed results, and so I know what it's like to be stuck. I know what it's like to feel confused and frustrated and ready to tear your hair out in this process. So if this is your first time hearing about self-inquiry, if this is your first time hearing about enlightenment, this episode will do very little for you. The tips that I'm going to be providing here are for people who are already in the process of doing self-inquiry on a regular basis. If you're one of those people, then this could help you a lot to stop chasing your tail. Because if you have the wrong conceptions or expectations about how this process works, A, you'll be very, very frustrated with it, and B, you will waste years, literally years, needlessly chasing your own tail. And before I give you my tips, let me point out that I have a lot of other older episodes which introduce you to enlightenment if this is something you're new to, so make sure you go watch those. And make sure you go to my forum, actualize.org/forum, into the spirituality and meditation subforum, and there you will find at the top pinned Leo's Practical Guide to Enlightenment. That's a big long post that I wrote up with step-by-step instructions for how I do self-inquiry. And that also addresses a lot of the stuff. So this episode here will just kind of add on top of that guide. All right, so here are my lessons. This is stuff that I learned along the way through reading a bunch of books and also practicing this stuff myself. And I'll be presenting them in no particular order. But we do need to start with something very fundamental, which is the following tip. When you sit down to do your self-inquiry every day, as you probably should be doing by now, I want you to really ask yourself, what is it exactly that you think that you're going to find? What are you looking for exactly? What form will the answer that you're seeking take? It's important to think about this conceptually before you begin this process, because a lot of the mistakes and the tail chasing begins right here. It's because you just tend to assume that, well, what I'm looking for is some sort of thing called enlightenment, whatever the hell that is, and that's probably like some kind of like mystical experience. So let me go chasing and finding this mystical experience. And if you have that expectation, then you're going to be sorely disappointed. What you're actually looking for is you're literally looking for formlessness. Don't just say, yes, I know that. You don't know that. That's why you're struggling with this thing. You're looking for formlessness. Now, what the hell is formlessness? Well, it's basically the exact opposite of anything that you've ever encountered in your life. The only things you've encountered in your life are forms. Physical objects, people, emotions, feelings, ideas, beliefs, models, scientific theories, all these are forms. You have to understand this. This is critical to understand. So take all of those, lump them all together, everything you've ever experienced in your entire life, lump it all together and put it right here on this side, right? It's on this side. What you're looking for when you're self-inquiring is not that. None of that. That might seem obvious, but really get this. You have to get this. And you have to get it repeatedly, over and over again. Every time you sit down to self-inquire, you have to remind yourself, because you're going to forget, because your mind is addicted to focusing on forms. That, in fact, is all the mind can access is forms. So what you're being asked to do here is to do the impossible. The impossible here is to attain formlessness. On this side, we've got formlessness. What that is, you don't really know. You can't know. It has no qualities. So the thing you're looking for, it's not big. It's not special. It's not bright. It's not dark. It's not small. It's not skinny. It's not thin. It's not a positive emotion. It's not an experience. It's none of that. So literally right now, try to imagine something that has absolutely no qualities. And already you failed because by imagining it, you gave it some kind of quality. You see? So the point of me telling you this is just so that you keep this in the back of your mind. So that when you're sitting down, your mind, you're going to notice your mind is clinging to stuff. It's clinging to ideas. It's clinging to sensations, to feelings, to some mystical state that you think you might be pursuing, which will be turned into enlightenment. You have to keep reminding yourself that it's none of that stuff. And just keep detaching, 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 detaching from every single quality you can until you somehow magically reach a state of formlessness. And you just have to trust that it's possible. It is possible. Many people have done it. But it's not possible if you keep clinging to formed things, to formed ideas. You're not going to get there. A good analogy that I like is it's as if I told you that you are going to find a needle in a haystack. And that's your job. And so you're going to spend a lot of time looking through this haystack for this needle. But the needle in this case that you're looking for is that there is no needle. It's this paradoxical twist, this mindfuck, if you will. The needle doesn't really exist. And yet you still have to look for it. That's the paradox of this thing. And so what you got to see, because this thing that you're looking for, it's a formless needle. What's a formless needle? It's nothing. It's not there. You can't find it, really. But you can have the realization that, oh, the needle is no needle. And that's why this stuff is so paradoxical, and that's why Zen masters give you these mind twister koans, which kind of screw with your mind and don't make any logical sense. That's right, because how do you find a needle which is no needle? And the mistake would be to think that, oh, well, if it's no needle, Leo, then I shouldn't even look. That's a mistake. If you don't look, you're not going to find the no needle. And it is possible to find the no needle. The no needle is not the same thing as not looking. Not looking is what everybody else is doing, and they're not enlightened. Another tip I have for you is to stop looking for the answer from other people. Don't ask me for the answer. Don't ask some guru for the answer. Don't go posting on the forums questions like, well, what is awareness? Or what is consciousness? Or what is God? Or what is the truth? Or what is the true self? Don't ask these questions, because when you're asking that question, you're assuming that someone can give you a verbal, logical answer. You need to conceptually really understand that there is no verbal answer to this question. Enlightenment is not a verbal answer. When you're sitting down to do self-inquiry, you are not trying to get a logical or a verbal or even a mental image answer. Those things are not enlightenment. I know it's tempting to ask for the answer, but you know what? It's not like people are holding the answer back from you. It's not like the guru is just some asshole who's sitting up there on a pedestal and who has the answer. And if only you would ask him enough times, he would just give it to you. If it was like that, somebody would just write it in a book. And then I would tell you to go buy that book. And that's it. This whole process would be very simple. It would be over. There'd be no challenge about it. Everyone in the world would be enlightened already. No problem. But that's not how it works. So you have to understand that the thing you're looking for is not a verbal answer. So don't bother asking about it. What is awareness? What is consciousness? What is God? What is the true self? You don't know, nor can you know until you become enlightened. And the only way that'll happen is if you sit down and you do this self-inquiry for yourself. No one can help you. No book can help you. No guru can help you. Nothing can help you but you sitting down and doing it. And anything else that you try to do to try to get an answer from somebody, a tip from somebody, all of that, you have to recognize that's a distraction. While you're doing that, you're not doing self-inquiry. And that's why you're not getting enlightened. It's really that simple. But it's tricky to actually execute on this principle in practice. You have to notice yourself distracting with trying to get the verbal answers and then just stop yourself, force yourself to stop and to turn inwards and to do this process. There is no shortcutting this process. Every shortcut you look for is just going to make your journey longer. And the quicker you can realize that, the easier this will go for you. I also want you to notice that all ideas and all perceptions that you have are not the thing you're looking for. Now, this might sound like I'm saying the same thing like I said before. But again, in this work, you have to just come back to the obvious things over and over and over again. It's not enough just to hear them once. You have to come back to it every single time because the problem is you hear it, but you don't really get it. So I want you to deeply grasp that this thing that we're talking about, enlightenment, it cannot be symbolized. It cannot be captured as a mental image. It cannot be scientifically modeled, ever. I'm not saying that no one's done it yet and that maybe in the future it'll happen. I'm saying it's never going to ever happen, not in a billion years. That's what I'm saying. Now, whether you believe me or trust me or not, that's another story. I'm just telling you the way that it is. If you don't want to believe me, that's fine. You can go waste your own time trying to symbolize and conceptualize and rationalize enlightenment. In the end, you'll discover you can't do it. And how do I know? Because I've spent many years trying to do it. And once you discover it for yourself in the non-symbolized, non-conceptualized form, but in its actual form, you will understand why it can't be symbolized. But until then, you won't understand why. You're just going to have to trust me on that. Anything that you can imagine is not it. That's a very important principle that can help you to cut through a lot of bullshit when you're sitting to self-inquire. That means every single idea or feeling or emotional state that you have that you think, oh, maybe this is it. That's not it. That really helps to cut through a lot of crap if you keep that principle in mind. But it's also difficult because your mind is so addicted to all these ideas and things that you have in there that it doesn't want to let them go. And see, what the mind is trying to do is it incessantly tries to conceptualize and symbolize enlightenment, but it doesn't really grasp that it can't do that. It's not going to succeed. So it just tries and tries and tries and tries and tries. In Zen, they have you do that over and over again for thousands of hours until finally your mind gives up. It surrenders and it says, fuck, I've completely failed. It's impossible. And then that's usually when the enlightenment happens, if you're still on this path. But a lot of people quit long before then. Here's another tip for you. This is a very important guiding principle of this process. It's that nothing is hidden. And a corollary of that is that nothing is elsewhere. This is a principle that has served me very, very well. Because one of the tricks to this process that you're going to face is that you're going to be tempted to look for enlightenment somewhere else as some hidden object out there behind the scenes somewhere. You're going to look for it as though you're looking for some magical animal, like a unicorn, or some hidden dimension, or some kind of alien, or some kind of thing of the mind, or that it's somewhere else. It's in another dimension out there. It's in, you know, a fifth dimension, a sixth dimension. It's in outer space somewhere. Thinking about it like this, that's not what it is. Nothing is hidden. Nothing is elsewhere. It means that right now, if you just become conscious as much as you possibly can of the present moment, just do it right now. Become conscious of this present moment right now, exactly whatever you're experiencing. That right there, this right here, this is right now, this is it. This is what you're looking for. It's not somewhere else, and it's not something different than this. This is enlightenment right here. This is absolute infinity. What you're looking at right now, me, my face, my voice, this happening right now, all the thoughts in your head, whatever feelings you're having, this consciousness you have right now, this is absolute infinity. You're inside of absolute infinity. Absolute infinity is nothing other than what you're seeing every single second of every moment of your life. You're in it is the problem. You're too close to it is the problem. It's not far away from you. It's too close to you. You see, you're in so deep inside it that you don't see it for what it really is. So rather than looking somewhere else out there behind the curtain, the best approach is to actually become very present to this moment right now. And not to go chasing some kind of mystical state or some kind of positive feeling. Enlightenment is not a positive feeling. It's what's happening right this second. It's the very fabric of reality itself. It's existence existing itself right now, right here. This is it right here. You need to remind yourself of this over and over and over again as you sit down. It's not enough just to hear me say it once. It's not enough for you to sit down and to do it once. This should be the beginning of every single one of your sits, is that you remind yourself that nothing is hidden, nothing is elsewhere. This right here, right now is infinity. Your job is to just become conscious of that fact by just staying as present and as conscious of the very fact of existence right now and just hone your mind on that without a lot of distracting thoughts and ideas. That's the essence of this self-inquiry process. There are different angles you can come at it from. There are different questions you can ask. You can ask the question, who am I? You can ask the question, what am I? You can ask the question, what is reality? You can ask the question, what is existence? Or what is God? You know, all these questions, but they ultimately all point and boil down to the same thing. Just you're kind of approaching it from different angles. And I do recommend that you experiment with different questions. Some questions might resonate with you more than others. Some approaches will just be easier for you than other ones. And sometimes you get tired and you want to switch things up. That's fine. You don't need to stick with just one question. But regardless of what your question is, the process is basically just you becoming present to what is actually happening right now in this moment. That's all that it is. Another tip that I have for you is that you are not the body and you are not the mind. Now, this seems obvious by now if you've heard me talking about enlightenment or you've heard other people talking about enlightenment or you've read books about enlightenment, this should be obvious by now. And that's basically what enlightenment means. So what is enlightenment? Enlightenment means that you that you've always thought you were, the body and the mind, maybe you think that what I am is this body here and this mind in here that's talking right now to you, that's not actually me and that's not actually you. That's what enlightenment means. Enlightenment means that this is an illusion, that these constructs of ourselves that we have, that these are just illusions. And that reality as a whole is an illusion. And really what this is right now, what's happening right here is just a dream. Reality is no different from a dream that you have when you go to sleep. It's just a little bit more solid feeling. But actually it's possible to see through that solidity until you realize that actually there's nothing solid about this moment right now at all. You think this is solid, it's just a dream. You're inside of a dream right now. I'm speaking to you inside of a dream, and it's possible to awaken from this dream. That's what enlightenment is in a nutshell. But even though you probably know that already, I have to stress this point for you again, and you need to stress it every single time you sit down and self-inquire, because what I'm saying here is so fucking significant. It's so significant that it's very easily overlooked. You are not the body and you are not the mind. Do you realize how fucking significant that statement is? Now, maybe you think I'm full of shit and that I'm deluded and that I'm wrong. That's fine if you think that. But one of us is right or wrong here. Either you are the mind and the body, or you're not. And if you are, then basically reality works the way you think it works. And then I'm wrong and everything that you believed is fine. And that basically you've got all reality figured out. But if what I'm saying happens to be true, maybe, just maybe, if what I'm saying happens to be true, then everything you've ever thought about life is dead wrong. You see that? This statement that you are not the body and you are not the mind is the most significant statement that could probably ever be told to a human being. And yet, when people sit down and do enlightenment work, or when they are on the forums talking about enlightenment, I see that they don't grasp the significance of what they're really pursuing. You are pursuing the literal disidentification of yourself from your body and from your mind. Do you fathom how significant that is if it's true, if it's possible? Now, maybe it's untrue, maybe it's impossible, and maybe I'm full of shit. But your job here, if you take me seriously, and if you take this work seriously, is to prove yourself wrong and to prove me right. Which means you have to sit there for hours until you realize that you're not the body and the mind. Now, the claim that I'm making is that it's possible for you to realize that. And when you do, you'll be shocked. And it will be the most significant discovery you've ever made in your life. And it will turn your life completely around. So what we're really talking about here is literal immortality. Literal immortality. Understand how significant that is. Understand also how big of a discovery and how big of an accomplishment that is. That's no little thing. So if it takes you a few years and a few thousand hours of grinding away, of confusion, of frustration, of pain, of emotional labor to realize something like this, is that worth it? Do you think? Are you willing to trade that for immortality? I mean, after all, you can invest a couple thousand hours playing video games very easily. Many of you have. Or chasing girls. Or doing work. A lot of people waste thousands of hours every single year working at some shitty, lame job. And they think that, oh, that's a good investment of my time and my life energy. But then when it comes to enlightenment and they need to put in a couple thousand hours of work, oh, all of a sudden, oh, Leo, no, no, work, no, I'm not supposed to work for these sorts of things. These sorts of things are just supposed to happen to me. They're just supposed to land on my lap. There shouldn't be any seeking involved, no work involved. Give me a fucking break. When you truly appreciate the significance of what you're doing here, you start to take your self-inquiry much more seriously. And also your expectations change, your motivations change. When you grasp this is the most significant thing you could possibly do in your life, then there's no longer a question about like, well, when will I become enlightened? Will I become enlightened this year or next year? Leo, what if it doesn't happen to me? There's no such questions anymore because this is the most fucking important thing you can do in your life. That means you're going to do it no matter what. You're going to do it if it takes you 50 years. You're going to do it. It doesn't matter. That kind of motivation and commitment to this path only comes when you realize the significance of what you're pursuing. I see that way too many people pursue enlightenment as though it's just like, oh, it's just another goal. It's like, yeah, it's pursuing enlightenment is sort of like me learning how to type or me finishing reading a big book. Or me learning a new piece of software. You know, it's like, it's this, you're comparing it to these flimsy goals. You need to really grasp the significance of what you're doing here. And every time you sit down, you need to realize that I'm sitting here and I really feel in the heart of my heart, I feel that I am the body and the mind. If I'm not the body and the mind, what could I possibly be? It's insane to think that I could be anything else. This is ludicrous. You need to think that every time you sit down. And then you need to realize and tell yourself that you're wrong. I'm wrong for believing this. I'm sitting here. I'm believing a bunch of horseshit that society has fed me. I'm believing utter delusions that I'm this body and this mind. And I'm sitting here and I'm believing it like a sucker. I am a total ignorant sucker. Like those stupid Mormons or those religious people, or those Scientologists or those people who lived 200-300 years ago who were doing the witch trials. I'm just as ignorant as those people, even more ignorant, because I'm sitting here and I've been told that I'm not the body and the mind. And I'm suspecting that it's true. And yet still, I'm so ignorant. I'm so fucking ignorant that I can't shake this belief. That's how every self-inquiry session you sit down and do should run. If you're using your thoughts during self-inquiry, this is what you should be using them for. Use them to question everything that you hold certain about reality and about you being a body and a mind. The advanced stages of self-inquiry is just you sitting there silently as possible, not saying anything to yourself in your mind. You're just sitting there and you're just focusing on the present moment. But before you get there, it's helpful, perhaps for a year or two in this process, to use your thoughts, because your thoughts are going to be churning. You know, you got the monkey mind rolling around in there. So since that thing is on, you might as well use that monkey mind for something good. And the one good thing you can use it for is to really start to question these things. And so these conversations that I'm having with you, this is sort of the conversations that I have inside my head when I'm doing self-inquiry. I sit there and I think, like, how fucking stupid am I to believe that I'm the body and the mind? I'm sitting here and I'm fucking believing it. I'm just an idiot for believing this. Now, of course, you don't want to go overboard with that and turn this into some neurotic, guilt trip that you put on yourself. But hey, you know, sometimes you got to do that. Sometimes if you sit there for 10 days in a long, deep retreat setting, and by the end of those 10 days, you're still sitting there believing that you're the body and the mind. I mean, it's like, God damn it, how could I be so stupid? You know, sometimes that's what you got to say. And sometimes saying that to yourself really kind of wakes you up and like, yeah, why am I so stupid? Why do I believe that I'm the body and the mind? And then your mind starts to kind of like open up a little bit more. And that's what you're trying to do. Another tip I have for you is that the very crux of this enlightenment work is to challenge your very identity. How do you know that you're you? How can you trust your bodily feelings as a signifier of yourself? So usually when you ask somebody, how do you know you're you? They say, well, I'm me. Of course I'm me. Because look, I can feel myself. I'm talking right now. I'm moving my hands. I'm feeling the thoughts inside my head and my emotions. So I'm feeling stuff. So that's what proves that I'm me. What could be more obvious? But you got to look deeper than that. Ask an even more fundamental question, which is like, how do you know that the feelings that are being felt right now by you, which you claim are evidence for your existence, that those feelings actually are you? How do you know that? How do you know that you are made out of feelings, that you are made out of body sensations, and that you are made out of thought ideas that you have in your head? Because that's what you're presently identified with. But how do you know that those things are what you actually exist as? You never questioned it. You were just born, and one day you just sort of woke up and you said, yeah, I am this body and these feelings and these thoughts. And you never gave it a second thought again. You just took it completely for granted. Here, what I want you to do is I want you to really question that. So actually pick a sensation in your body. Maybe like pinch yourself a little bit, you know, like pinch your arm or something. And then ask yourself, like, that pinch, is that me? How do I know that's me? I mean, yeah, I can feel some pain, but that pain that's being felt, how do I know that that's actually me? After all, when I look at a table, I don't say that I am the table just because I see it. So when I feel a pain, equally following that analogy, when I'm feeling this pain, that doesn't necessarily prove that I am the pain. When I'm feeling my foot, that doesn't prove that I am the foot. In the same way that when I see a bird, doesn't prove I'm a bird. So what criteria are you using to identify with things? And even perhaps more fundamentally, ask yourself the question, how is it that identity comes about in the first place at all? How is it that a thing becomes a thing? Who is determining identity? Does God have like a logbook and he says that, well, this object here is clearly a bird and therefore it's a bird. And that object over there is a tree, so clearly it must be a tree. And these are discrete objects. The bird is separate from the tree. Do you think it works like that? You think the universe or reality has this sort of list somewhere? So who is determining these identities? Could it be that your own mind is concocting the identity on the fly? Interesting. An interesting possibility. Quite the mindfuck that would turn out to be. So the tip here is to challenge your very identity every single time you sit down. Don't just think about what is reality and what is God. Those can be good to think about, but you always have to go, wait a minute, what do I really think that I am? And you have to be very honest about that and stop bullshitting yourself about all the theories that you've read. You know, people like Eckhart Tolle and maybe myself and other folks and things you've read in books have told you that, oh, you are a spirit or you are nothingness or you are everything or you are unity or you are God. We told you all these things. These are just ideas for you. You have to drop all those ideas and you have to be very honest first and foremost about what is your present identification. A lot of people don't even know this. If you ask the average person, what is your present identification? They're going to look at you stupid. And you ask them, are you the body? And they'll say, yes, I am the body. And then you ask them, so are you the arm? And they'll say, well, no, I'm not quite the arm. Okay, so you don't identify with being an arm. You identify then with what? With being a body. But then is the arm part of the body? Yes, it is. But then why don't you identify with it? Well, I don't know. Okay, well, so then maybe you're not the arm and you're not the body. Maybe you identify with being something else, like the heart or the mind. Okay, so yeah, maybe I'm more like the mind. But then what is the mind? Which part of the mind exactly are you identifying with? Are you identifying with an image, a mental image of your body? So if that mental image isn't present, does that mean you don't exist anymore when that image isn't present? Okay, so that means you can't be the image because the image isn't always in your mind. It's only in your mind sometimes. Yet you are supposed to exist all the time. So then what really are you? What are you identified with? What do you believe you are? Don't just say, oh yeah, I'm just a human being. I'm just a body. That's not specific enough. You need to really drill down on it because what you'll discover is that actually you don't have a clear sense of it. And that's part of the problem. Part of the reason why you keep spinning your wheels in this mud of self-inquiry is because you're not being precise enough with yourself. Your mind is playing very loose. It's fudging the numbers as you're doing this inquiry. What it really helps is for you to pick a specific concrete sensation or object in your present experience that you identify with. Like, do you identify with an itch on your foot? And then ask yourself, am I that itch? Am I literally an itch? Is that what I am? Am I an itch? And then you'll say, no, I can't be an itch. And then you can ask yourself, okay, what about like my hair? Do I identify with my hair? Am I literally my hair? Is that what I am? Is that I'm hair? That's what I exist as hair? No, that doesn't sound right either because like I could shave my head and then I don't have any hair and then you're like me. And then so what do you identify with then? Being bald? I guess you can identify with that too. See, and then just keep that process going. And eventually you'll kind of distill it down. And everything that you think you might be, you'll realize, no, it can't be it. And this can't be it. And that can't be it. And so none of it is it. So then what the hell am I? Why do I even believe I exist if I can't find myself? You need to go through that process. Be very careful not to fall into the trap of saying like, oh yeah, Leo, okay, yeah, I know I'm not any of those things. So let me just go straight to discovering that I'm nothing. No, that doesn't work. That doesn't work at all. Because while you're doing that intellectually, actually, deep down in your heart, you're believing that you're the body, or that you're the mind, or that you're a thought, or that you're your life story, or that you're the image of your face in your mind. You need to go through all those different facets systematically and eliminate those. And you have to actually go through the process of elimination. If you try to skip that, because you want to shortcut the process, you're going to do the exact opposite. It's going to take you even longer. Because what you need to do is you need to actually expose your mind to the fact that all your identifications are false, which means you have to go through it like a mathematical proof. If you wanted to be certain that a mathematical proof is wrong, you would have to go through it point by point and actually isolate the exact errors in the proof. It wouldn't be enough to just kind of give it a cursory overview and say, oh yeah, this is wrong. Or yeah, I already know the answer. I already know it's wrong, so that's good enough for me. No, that doesn't work. If you do that, you're just going to trick yourself and your old identification is going to still stay there. This is why I'm really stressing this point. Again, the principle of this tip is challenge the core of your very identity every single time you sit down. When you really do this, not just intellectually, but really, you're really challenging your very identity. When you sit down to self-inquire, you have to do it with such gravity that if you keep doing it, you will literally cease to exist. Your very existence is on the line, which is not you just sitting and philosophizing about, oh yeah, maybe we're in the matrix. Maybe I'm not the body. Maybe something. Maybe this. Maybe that. Maybe I'm God. No, 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 no. It's like when you're sitting down to do this inquiry, I want you to question the very floor you're sitting on with such conviction that when you question it enough, there's a possibility that the fucking floor can stop existing. Because you're going to ask yourself the question, wait a minute, is there actually a floor under my feet? And then you're going to actually think about that and really try to connect with that floor. And if you realize there is no fucking floor, that floor is gone. You fall through. Same thing with your body. I want you to sit down and ask yourself, am I really my body? With such seriousness that if it dawns on you that there is no such thing as a body, your body literally disappears at that moment. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about taking this questioning to an existential level where the actual physical fabric of space and time and your body is all called into question. So in a sense, you're doing this inquiry, but really you're doing physics. You see that? You're doing physics. I mean, more accurately, you're doing metaphysics. But the problem with calling it metaphysics is that we think of metaphysics as just some theory. No, 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 no. When you do metaphysics properly, you're actually going below physics and you're actually dissolving the physical fabric of space-time. I'm not fucking with you. This is outrageous shit. I know it sounds outrageous. It's outrageous. What I'm saying is outrageous. If anything I'm saying here is true, it's absolutely outrageous. I know I'm saying that. I know it sounds insane, but hey, this is what fucking enlightenment is about. You got to do it seriously, otherwise you're not really doing it. It's not enough just to sit there and to think about shit. That's not going to do it. Not at all. Don't try to pretend that you're nothing. You've heard that you're nothing. You've heard that enlightenment is the truth of nothingness. But here's a very important tip for you. The nothing that gurus talk about when they talk about the nothingness of God or the nothingness of enlightenment or the nothingness of the true self, that is not the nothing of the regular English term nothing. The regular English term nothing is not what we're talking about. This is a special, you might call it a technical term within the non-dual vocabulary. It's called nothing, but it's not the nothing you're thinking of. Not at all. In fact, if you ever happen to become conscious of this nothing with a capital N, the nothing that is God, it will feel to you like you were deceived by these gurus. It's not going to feel to you like nothing at all. It's going to feel to you like everything. The exact opposite of what you thought it was is how it's going to actually play out for you. And that will be a rude awakening because you'll wonder, why do they call it nothing? They should have called it everything. And then, of course, you'll realize, yeah, they did call it everything. They also called it God. and you'll realize why that term is appropriate. But you can't possibly appreciate that now. So this whole notion of you pretending like you're nothing, it's not working. It's actually hurting you. Just be honest about what you presently are attached to being. And then start questioning that. And then whatever materializes from that, whatever the truth happens to be, try to track that truth and let it permeate you. Rather than coming in here with some concept of like, yeah, I'm God, I'm nothing. These are just ideas. They mean absolutely nothing. And in fact, they're really holding you back. The next very important tip I have for you is focus on what is actual when you sit down to self-inquire. Again, this sounds very simple, but I want you to try to do this right now. You're sitting here right now listening to me. I would like you to train your awareness right now, train it on what I'm going to call actuality. Actuality. This is it. Actual. Actual. Actual is right here. Try to make a conceptual distinction in your mind between actual and everything else. Ideas about the future, about the past, concepts, theories, all this sort of stuff. That's not actual. Actual, right here, actual. Get actual. Become conscious right now of actuality. And you need to do this every single time that you sit down to self-inquire. Remind yourself, oh yeah, I gotta focus on what's actual. Nothing in here. Actual. Actual is out here. Actual is all this. This is all actual. What's happening in here? That's not actual. This right here, actual. These hands, as I'm feeling, as I'm looking, this is actual. Actual. You see that? Focus on that. That's what you're focusing on. When your mind goes into fairy tale land, into concept land, bring it back to actual. Actual is not an idea, not a belief, not a theory, not a model, not a speculation, not an intuition, not an emotion, not a feeling, not a state, not a logical conclusion. It's actual. Actual. Get that? Practice it a little bit right now to make sure you understand what actual means. The next tip I have for you is the distinction between content versus existence itself. So when you are lost in self-inquiry and you're struggling and you're just spinning your wheels, the reason that's happening is because you're getting lost and attached to various content within reality. Content within reality is pretty much all forms. We've already talked about this, but let's talk about it now as content. Content is the stuff. So if you think of reality as a giant screen, like a TV screen, on the TV screen, you have all sorts of content. You have an apple, you have a person, you have a tree, you have a car, you have a movie, you have a girl crying, you have a car getting blown up, you have some drama, you have some action, you have all this stuff happening. That's the content. The pixels of the screen itself represent existence itself. You see, the pixels can take on any number of colors, and they can represent infinite content. A TV can display an infinite number of images. And in this self-inquiry process, the whole trick of it is that when you're sitting down to do it, you need to focus on the pixels of the screen rather than the content that's being displayed on the pixels. And it's very easy to get confused between those two. So right now, try this just for a second. I would like you to train your awareness, move it off of the content of your consciousness, and put it on existence itself. The very fact that there is existence happening right now, put your attention on that. Notice that the fact of existence itself is not any piece of content. It's not an object. It's not a tree. It's not my face. It's not my voice. It's not a feeling in your body. There is just the fact of existence itself. Try to put your attention on that for a moment and begin to wonder, what the hell is that? And you should notice that it's a sort of slippery thing. You can't really grasp it. You can't really put your mind around it. You can't put your arms around it. You can't really point to what existence is. And yet, nevertheless, there's just this overwhelming sense of existence there. So try putting your attention on that rather than the content of your mind or the content of the external world around you. And the more you do that within self-inquiry, the better off your self-inquiry will be. Here's another tip that I have for you. This helps to center you when you're getting lost in the midst of a flurry of mental activity within self-inquiry. Remind yourself that enlightenment is the one and only one constant that is constant across every single moment of life. To me, this is a very helpful pointer and reminder, which means that if I think that enlightenment is something, like some emotional state, or, oh yeah, I have enlightenment, it's a state, I have it right here. If I think that, then this pointer helps me to realize, no, that can't be it, because I didn't have it just a moment ago. If I have it now, but I didn't have it a moment ago, that means it's not a constant. Enlightenment doesn't change with time. The thing you're looking for is eternal. It's ever present. It's the only one thing which is invariable across all of time and all of space. Realize how fucking significant this is as well. What I am saying here, in other words, is that there is a thing, we'll call it a thing for now, but it's not really a thing. There is a thing in quotes, there exists a thing which is constant and which was there before the Big Bang. It was there before you were born. It was there when you were asleep tonight. It will be there when you wake up tomorrow. And it will be there when you're lying in a coma. And it will be there after your body and your mind die. That thing is what you're looking for. The one constant across everything. Now that's pretty outrageous for me to claim that there is such a thing. How could that be? How could such a thing exist? And if it is there, then why is it so goddamn hard to find? Shouldn't it then be here? Why isn't it not here? Well, maybe it is here. Maybe you're just not seeing it. Maybe here is exactly what we're talking about. Maybe it's not hidden. Maybe it's not elsewhere, like I said before. See? So use this to ground your inquiry and to cut out all the bullshit. Any kind of mystical state you have, that's not fucking it. Because it comes and it goes, it comes and it goes, that means it's not enlightenment. Try this right now. I would like you to try blinking your eyes. Open and close your eyes. And notice that as you close your eyes, everything in front of you, all the perceptions that were there, they all disappear. All the objects, any lights, trees, cars, people, cats, animals, coffee tables, bookshelves, computers, smartphones, anything that was there in your visual field, it all disappears when you close your eyes. Which should tell you, based on this principle, that none of those objects can be the thing you're looking for. So I want you to, again, rapidly try to close and open your eyes. And as you do that, I want you to pay attention to the fact that all these perceptions which are changing for you right now as you're blinking your eyes, that these are all perceptions. And every single perception always changes, it comes and goes. Perceptions were not there before you were born. That means what? That means perceptions are not enlightenment. Ideas did not exist before you were born. That means what? Ideas are not enlightenment. Your body did not exist before you were born. What does that mean? That means it's not enlightenment. It's not you. What you are is what existed before you were born. Now, I know that sounds nonsensical, but yeah, that's the paradox of it. That's just because you've identified yourself with something that is temporary. And that's what this process is about, is helping you to change that identification. You are misidentified with being a body and a mind. Now try turning your head from left to right to left to right. Notice as you're turning your head like this, objects are literally disappearing from your visual field and reappearing. As that is happening, I want you to ask yourself, what's the one constant? Because all your perceptions are changing all the time. They're not constant. You don't have a single constant perception. Your perceptions of your body are not constant. You might think they are, but they're not. Your perceptions of your heart, your mind, your body, everything, all your bones and all the organs you have, everything you think that is truly deeply you, all those perceptions change all the time. When you're deep in sleep, you don't feel any of those things. And when you're turning your head like this, all these objects are appearing and disappearing. They're literally being created and destroyed as you turn your head. So none of them can be you. You are the one thing which is not created or destroyed. That's what enlightenment is about, finding that thing. The next tip I have for you is this distinction between observation versus trying to figure it out. I want you to make this distinction. So when you're sitting down to do your inquiry, if you're like me and you're very conceptually minded, then you're going to have a strong desire to sit there and to figure out this puzzle of enlightenment. How could it be? And you ask yourself all these questions. You try to model everything together. Like, well, God is like this and like that, and that means this. And you're trying to figure it out. That's not going to work. And I want you to understand that it will never, ever, ever work. You're not going to figure it out. And that there's an alternative that you could be doing, which is observation. The difference between observation and figuring it out is that to figure something out, you're sitting there and you're sort of modeling it. Whereas observation is, you're just looking at the damn thing. You're not figuring anything out about it. So what I would suggest you do is to move your inquiry away from figuring it out more towards observation. And this is something that will naturally happen as your self-inquiry habit develops and progresses over the years. The first year you do it, there's going to be a lot of you trying to figure it out. The mind is just not going to be able to stop. It's going to be trying to figure everything out. Over time, yeah, you'll figure some stuff out, but you're not going to get enlightenment. So there's some use in doing the figuring it out because you get some conceptual understandings of where you're going wrong. Maybe you figure out some aspect of your psychology that was helpful to you to figure out. But really, what's going to happen naturally is you're going to drop the figuring it out. You're going to move towards observation where you just sit and just you observe. What are you observing? Are you observing physical objects? No. Are you observing your body? No. Are you observing your mind? No. You're just observing existence itself. Or in other words, awareness. You're observing awareness. It's awareness trained upon itself. And then you just continue with this very patient observation. This is a very important point that I don't want you to overlook, which is that you need to start to trust in pure observation. The power of pure observation is remarkable. But it's difficult to convey this to a newbie who hasn't done a lot of observation, because it's hard for the mind to grasp, like, how could observation change anything? How could observation reveal anything monumental to me? And the secret missing ingredient is just time and focus. With a lot of focus and a lot of patience and enough time, you need to trust that pure observation will produce huge for you. But it will only happen slowly and gradually. And you need to be able to have that long-term perspective and to see that, yeah, it's going to take a while, but let me just keep observing. I'm just going to observe. I'm just going to observe. I'm not going to go figuring stuff. I'm not going to go into monkey mind. I'm not going to go distract. I'm just going to sit and observe, and I'm going to trust that it's going to produce for me. And eventually it will produce for you. This is such an important point that I actually brought a little visual aid for you to show you how this really works. Here's the power of pure observation, and here's why it requires so much patience. What I have here is I have a rock, and what I have here is I have a feather. It's actually a real ostrich feather. So, here's how pure observation and self-inquiry works. It's like taking a rock and then eroding it into nothingness using a feather. So here's me mimicking the process of self-inquiry. Ready? Like that, until this rock is completely gone. So now you can see why this is such a challenging process, even though it's very simple. There's nothing very complicated about this, but you can see why so few people do it and succeed at it, because it requires enormous patience and enormous foresight to just be able to sit there and just to observe and just observe and observe existence for so long that eventually everything erodes. That's what's going on here. I want you to try to get an intuitive grasp of what consciousness is versus thinking. So there's thinking. You can think about consciousness, which is different from consciousness itself. And it's really hard for me to communicate how to do this. And the best thing I can tell you is just go take some psychedelics. And psychedelics will very quickly show you the difference between thinking and between consciousness. But you can try to get a little bit of this, a little taste of consciousness by just doing the following. Right now, I would like you to become conscious of the fact that you exist. Do it. And notice a subtle difference, a subtle shift that happened in you. You were just sitting there doing your regular stuff, and now all of a sudden you became a little bit conscious of, hey, yeah, this is existence. And there was just a very subtle, very, very faint shift in consciousness when you did that. So it's like that. You want to get an intuitive grasp for just how to go straight to consciousness. It's hard to do because really consciousness has no, it has no form, and it's like you can't talk about it really, and you can't really point to it. So how do you tell a person to just go straight to raising your consciousness? It's like they don't know what to do. They know how to raise their arm. They know how to raise their tongue or raise their voice, but they don't know how to raise their consciousness. And that's because they don't have much experience with different degrees of consciousness. They're mostly in the same one degree of consciousness their whole life. So they don't really have anything to compare it to, which is why psychedelics are so powerful, because they will boost your consciousness, and you'll see they boost your consciousness so quickly that just within a matter of 30 minutes, you'll be able to see your consciousness kind of go whoop, whoop. And you'll be like, wait a minute, where did that come from? How did my consciousness just rise like that? And then now it falls back down. How did that happen? And if you do enough of those trips, you start to get a sort of an intuitive grasp for just what consciousness is, and you can just go straight to it, and then just sort of like, you can actually just sit there and quote, and just tell yourself, okay, let me just elevate my consciousness right now. And just, it sort of starts to happen. But that requires quite a bit of training or some tripping. Another tip that I'll have for you is make sure you challenge the naive realist paradigm. I have an episode about I think it's called A Rant Against Naive Realism. Naive realism basically is just your belief that there is a physical reality, which is described by modern scientific physics, and that there actually is a physical world. There's a universe. This universe came out of the Big Bang, and there are physical objects that exist, and so on and so forth. All of this is just not true, but it feels true to you because you're buying into this paradigm. So besides just questioning yourself, what you really need to question, you need to question physics itself. The tip I have for you here is that stop thinking of reality as a physical system. You are not inside of a physical system. You are inside of a hallucination machine. Reality is not made of a bunch of particles or physical objects. Reality is made out of a collection of hallucinations. What you're experiencing right now is a hallucination. Literally. I'm not being cute or poetic here. I'm being literal. Everything you're seeing right now and everything you've ever seen is a hallucination. And in fact, there is nothing real within reality. All it is just it's a set of hallucinations. Dreams. This is just a dream. Physics is a dream. The brain is a dream. Your birth is a dream. Your entire life is a dream. Dream and hallucination are the exact same thing. The technical definition of hallucination is a perception without substance. And that's exactly what you're experiencing right now. That's what this is. Perception with no substance. There's no substance to this right now whatsoever. It's got exactly as much substance as last night's dream. It just feels a little different. Part of this dream that you're in right now is that it's physical. That's part of the dream. Doing physics, that's doing physics in the dream. Believing you have a brain, which renders your consciousness, that is just part of the dream. There is no brain. There's just a dream of a brain. There is no birth of you and your body and your mind. There's just a dream of a birth of you, your body, and your mind. You see? So start to replace this naive physicalist conception of reality with instead this notion of just dreams. And now you might wonder, well, Leo, where are these dreams taking place? And what I'm telling you is that they're not taking place anywhere, literally, nowhere. They are not taking place in a brain. They are just dreams. That's what reality is just dreams. Dreams without any infrastructure. Software without any hardware. Hallucinations with no substance behind them. There is no reality. There is only illusion. That's what you're going to discover in this inquiry. Let me give you some more quick tips. One of them being that there is no way or process towards enlightenment. There is no magic technique. No technique actually will get you there. Techniques increase your odds, but there is no one way or process to get to enlightenment. Enlightenment is an a process thing. There is no process to get to it. It's a discontinuous jump. So just remember that as you're stressing out over which process to use. Remember also as a tip that enlightenment is totally outside of your rational mind. You will not be able to grasp it rationally. I'm sorry, you're just not going to be able to do it. What you need to do is you need to drop your expectations and demands for rationalism. Another tip for you to remember that's very important is that the actual moment of enlightenment is not up to you. You cannot will it. You cannot make it happen. It actually is just a fortunate accident. Now, it's a fortunate accident, but you can still increase your odds of having this fortunate accident. In the same way that if you wanted to get struck by lightning, you can go up on a tall mountain with a big iron rod in the middle of a lightning storm, and your chances of getting struck by lightning would be a lot higher than normal. But it would still be a fortunate accident if you actually got struck. There is nothing you could literally do to force the lightning to strike you. It has to come to you. But you can certainly increase the odds quite a bit. That's why we're doing the self-inquiry in the first place. That's the equivalent of you standing up there on a mountain with a giant iron rod. Another tip I have for you is remember that no self is equivalent to the true self. So sometimes you'll hear enlightenment teachers talking about the self doesn't exist, you don't exist, the truth of no self, the Buddha discovered the truth of no self, Buddhism teaches the void, the fact that there is no self. And then you hear other enlightenment teachers or gurus talking about the true self. The only thing that exists is the self. The self is the true self, the Atman, the Brahman, you are it, you are God, the I am. And you hear both these teachings and they seem like completely opposite. How could one set of people claim that enlightenment is this and another people say that it's exactly the opposite? How could this be? This is crazy. Why can't they agree with each other? Actually, they're in complete agreement. They're talking about the exact same thing. They're just different sides of the same coin. You can look at enlightenment from these two perspectives. You can look at it as nothing or as everything. As no self, as true self. As you not existing, as you being the only thing that does exist. And both can be useful, depending on the student you're working with. If we have a student who is really attached to the idea of the true self, then it helps to tell him the exact opposite. It helps to tell him, hey, buddy, you don't exist. There is no such thing as a self. That really fucks with his notions of the true self, because his notions of true self are just ideas. He has no fucking idea what the true self is. Conversely, if someone keeps saying, oh, I don't exist, I don't exist, I don't exist, you can tell this person, but what about the true self? Notice that you are the only thing that does exist. And then that person's ideas of no self get fucked with. See, because in both cases, the problem is that students get attached to the ideas. So we have different pointers, oftentimes opposite pointers, which are pointing to the same thing. So don't get lost in the words. Don't get lost in the images. You have to be able to read between the lines and to see what the teacher or the teaching is ultimately trying to get you to see. Also, keep in mind as a pointer or as a tip that many valid paths exist towards enlightenment. There is not one path, and there's certainly not one best path. It all depends on you, where you're at in life, your situation, your circumstances, and all that sort of thing. So follow your own path, whatever feels the most appropriate to you. Realistically, there's no way you can know which path will work the best for you. You just have to go through it through trial and error and just see. You'll notice after you try a path for a while whether it's resonating with your personality or not. And stop wasting your time criticizing other paths. This is a complete distraction. It's totally useless. Stop arguing about which path is the best path, who's right, who's wrong, my guru is better than your guru, this book is better than that book, this teacher is wrong, this teacher is right. Stop all that shit. That is just complete nonsense. Complete nonsense. Follow your own path. Avoid all the traps. And one of the biggest traps is all the distractions that you create for yourself. Another tip I have for you is be careful with mechanical meditation and or inquiry. You start to develop this habit of meditation. Oftentimes what it does is it just becomes mechanical. After a few years, you're just sitting down, you're doing it. And actually, the whole point of meditation is to make you more conscious. But when you sit down and do it mechanically, actually you're doing it mindlessly. And so actually it's making you less conscious. But because you call it meditation, and you're actually sitting down in a formal posture, and you look like you're meditating, and you're calling it meditation, then you make yourself think that, oh yeah, I'm actually raising my awareness. No, you're not. The only time you're raising your awareness is actually when you're aware. Be aware right now. That is what meditation is supposed to be about. Don't get lost in the outer garments of what meditating is. It's not about the sitting. It's not about any kind of technique. If you distill meditation down to its very essence, all it's trying to do is just to make you as aware as humanly possible. Try it right now with no techniques. Forget all techniques. Forget the word meditation. Just for the next 5 seconds, be as aware as humanly possible. Go. Do it right now. You got that? That's all that meditation is pointing you towards. Keep doing that. If you're doing that, then you're meditating. Another tip I have for you is that long stretches of focus are required to make serious traction with this work. If you are meditating or self-inquiring for 30 to 60 minutes every day, that's good. That's a good baseline, but that's not enough. You need to be doing at least a couple of retreats per year where you sit down for 10 days straight, 12 hours a day straight with no stopping at all, self-inquiring or meditating. You really need that. What you'll discover is that a 10-day retreat like that is worth much more than a year of one-hour sits. Much more. Because you're building momentum, and then your focus just, it becomes like a laser beam, and you're breaking through all the mental obstacles, you're quieting down the mind, and that's when big breakthroughs happen. It's very unlikely that you'll just get a breakthrough on a 30-minute sit. It's just not, it can happen, but it's not realistic. And, if you really want to increase your odds, then start doing these retreats. And in fact, these retreats, I would say, are more important than your daily sits. Although, ideally, you should be doing both, the daily sits and the retreats. Another tip I have for you is that terror and fear are a good sign. If you're self-inquiring and you start to notice your heart pounding really quickly, like you're about to die, don't stop. That's enlightenment. You're almost there. The terror is a sign that you're getting there. How do you work through this terror? There's no magic way. You are going to have to die. There is no getting to enlightenment without the death of you. Hate to break it to you, that's how it's going to be. So you're going to have to just push against that barrier of terror until finally you just gather enough balls to break through it. So it'll happen. After 10 or 20 of those, terror-filled moments, and then backing down, you're just going to get tired of backing down. You say, fuck this, I'm just going to do it. And you just do it. And then you see that there is nothing really to be terrified about. But it's going to feel very real. It's going to feel like death. It's going to feel like a panic attack. So be warned about that. Don't think you're doing anything wrong if you're feeling that. Very important tip for you that I have is that a flash experience is not enlightenment if it passes. So if you have some sort of mystical breakthrough, you have a kind of glimpse, maybe you have some oneness, unifying moment, that's great. But then let's say the next day you wake up and it's gone. What do you have? You don't have it. Maybe you had it, but you lost it, which means you don't have it. So it's nice. Those breakthrough experiences are great. Nothing wrong there. That means you're making progress, but it ain't the end. Your job is to go until it never leaves you. You are after something that's constant. This thing, enlightenment, it survives death. If what you've got doesn't survive death, and if it doesn't survive a night's sleep, and if it doesn't survive someone stepping on your toe or someone, spitting on your car, then it ain't enlightenment. Enlightenment was there before you were born. It'll be there after you die. So go for go for the big cheese. Don't get fooled with an initial first glimpse. Oftentimes on this path, people encounter a first glimpse, then they close down, their ego comes back, and they think, oh, that's it, I must have gotten it. Or even if they have some kind of permanent realization, oh, that's it, I've got it, I'm enlightened. No, you have to realize that there are many degrees of this thing called enlightenment. You probably can't even fathom the deepest degrees that are possible. So to be safe, what I tell people and what I follow myself in my own life is that you don't know how deep the rabbit hole goes. You don't know how many degrees of depth there are to this thing called enlightenment. So every single glimpse you get is great. You can celebrate that. You can be happy about that. But always assume that it goes deeper and that you are not done with your work. You keep doing the work. You keep doing the work. You keep doing the work until you have a breakthrough so big that your life is over. You'll know when you have a breakthrough so big that life as you know it is over. It's just fucking over. You're not there yet. If you're there, you're going to stop watching me. So don't worry, you're not there yet. You probably won't get there for your entire life, so keep chipping away at it. I'm telling you, this thing goes much, much deeper than you ever imagined. Even if you had a few glimpses, that's still not as deep as it goes. It goes fucking deep. It goes infinitely deep. Until you've hit that deepest infinity, keep going. Don't stop. I highly recommend as a tip that you train up your mindfulness abilities with the mindfulness with labeling technique that I talked about in my mindfulness meditation episode. Go check out that episode. Very, very powerful technique. Very powerful technique. Go do that technique for a while. Do that technique. It'll really build up your mindfulness. That will really help you with self-inquiry. I really want to warn you again about watching out for distractions on this path like a hawk. What's going to be happening is that the more progress you make, the more distracted you will tend to want to become. The ego is very tricky. And for every big breakthrough, there's going to be a flood of distractions. And your ego will come up with very clever, sneaky distractions. Very good, well-justified distractions for why you should quit this process. Your job is to never allow yourself to get distracted for any significant length of time. Yeah, you'll get distracted here and there. You might lose a few days here. You might lose a week there. You might even lose a month. But then you fucking come back because you're watching for distractions like a hawk. The idea is not that you can prevent every distraction. The idea here is that you just commit to never letting a distraction knock you off the path permanently. So you're always coming back. Always coming back. Always coming back, even if you're falling off and you're failing. And if you do that, then eventually you'll succeed. And eventually the distractions will die down. But especially at the beginning, there will be so many distractions. You'll have so many urges. You'll have urges for sex, for food, for moving to a new house, for working on your business, for finding a new career, for family, for having children, for playing games. It'll be infinite. You'll have infinite distractions. You need to see through those distractions as just part of the defense mechanism here of your psyche protecting you from getting towards enlightenment. I've already mentioned that psychedelics are a very powerful tool. I highly recommend that if you're serious about self-inquiry, that you do them at least a little bit, just so that they can quickly show you what you're actually after. Once you see it a few times through psychedelics, you don't even need to take them anymore. Then you can self-inquire and you kind of know what you're shooting for. Until then, you can waste years chasing your tail. So just a couple of psychedelic sessions with mushrooms, LSD, or DMT or whatever can help you there a lot. Although, of course, it's not necessary. You don't need to do them, so don't feel like I'm pushing them on you. If you want to do it the old school way, go fucking do it the old school way. Do it the Buddhist way. Do it the Christian way. Do it whatever way you want to do it. You certainly don't need to do psychedelics. It's perfectly normal to feel stuck in this process, to feel confused, to feel very, very frustrated. Get used to that. It's going to happen a lot. This work requires enormous patience. Just like the feather in the rock, remember? And lastly, the tip I have for you is just keep reminding yourself at the end of every session, or maybe at the beginning of every session that you do, is that this will be worth it. You're after the big cheese here. This is the answer to life. This is the answer to what is reality, to what is God, to what is existence, to why you were born, to why you will die, or maybe why you won't die. This is the answer to everything. This is it. It will be more worth it than I could communicate to you if I had 2 hours to rave about how worth it is. It'll be more worth it than that. It is the single largest thing that could possibly be. It is absolute infinity. It is everything possible given to you all at once. You will receive, in return for this investment of time and effort and frustration and emotional labor, you will receive the entirety of reality all at once. But you're going to have to put in the work before you get there. And in a sense, that's what will make this whole gift of infinity all the more sweeter. Because you had the vision, you had the wisdom, you had the foresight to go out there and to make it happen, even though you didn't know if it was really going to pan out, even though it sounded way too good to be true, even though it sounded absurd and ridiculous, you went out, you did it, and you earned infinity through a true desire for truth, a true leap of faith, and then following up on that leap of faith with real challenging work, the most challenging work that a human being can do. And that's it. Those are my tips for you for self-inquiry. All right, I'm out of here. Please remember to click that like button for me. Make sure you go to actualize.org, look at my forum, check out the practical guide to enlightenment that I have there. You can ask questions there. People can help you there if you have any kind of intelligent questions to ask. Check out my life purpose course, check out my book list, a lot of important books on my book list that can help you with this journey, just to get a conceptual understanding of what we're talking about here with enlightenment. And check out my blog as well, and I'll be adding more resources in the future. And the last thing I want to tell you is that there is no such thing as talking about enlightenment. I don't like to talk about enlightenment, because there's really nothing to talk about. Either you're going to do this inquiry process or you're not. If you're not doing it, then you're just bullshitting, which is the exact opposite of what enlightenment is about. So if you're not doing it, just stop wasting your time. Stop talking about it. Go play video games. Go pursue sex or money or whatever you want to do. Go just do basic personal development work if you want to do that. And stop wasting your fucking time with this bullshitting and mental masturbation. And if you are doing it, then continue to do it or begin doing it right now, starting today or tomorrow, and just keep doing it. And stop talking about it so much. You don't need to talk about it. All the energy and time you're wasting talking about it on the forum when you don't have any legitimate questions to ask is just waste. It's just a distraction. There's no point to it. And there's no point in just watching videos of gurus talking about it. There's no point. And there's no point in just reading books and books and books about enlightenment, enlightenment, enlightenment. It's just, it's completely pointless. You're doing this inquiry seriously or you're not. It's just that simple. So I hope that you are doing it seriously. And I look forward to bringing you more insights to come in the future.